For the past couple of months, I've been preaching to folks who are struggling with hurting hearts. We've looked together over the past few weeks at the things that people struggle with in their lives. It's been amazing to me over the past few weeks how many times different individuals have come to me and said, "The message you preached today, it spoke to my heart. I needed that word of encouragement. I needed that word of direction. I needed that word of assistance and encouragement and presence that the Lord gives to us." And as we've looked together at the biblical figures and the way that God has worked in their lives, we've discovered God is still in the business of doing that today. Whether you struggle with loneliness or loss, whether it's inadequacy or doubt or fear or discouragement, God is always there to help, to guide, and most of all, to deliver His people in the places where they need Him the most. This morning, I want to invite you to switch gears just a little bit, and I want to invite you to hear from the one who is the healer of hurting hearts. As we've looked together at hurting hearts and the needs and the desires and the broken places and the places where we need mercy and forgiveness and grace, we also recognize there is one who is the healer of hurting hearts. There may have been times over these past few weeks when you've asked, "So what do I need to do? I heard that message. It spoke to me. It's right there at my point of need. What do I need to do?" Maybe you're here today with a hurting heart. You need assurance. You need hope. You need healing. This morning, I want to challenge you to turn to the healer of hurting hearts. As we have considered all of the ways that people have struggled, today we learn there is one we can always turn to, always trust, always depend on. His name is Jesus. You know, there are so many ways you can describe the Lord Jesus: Master, Teacher, Miracle Worker, Sin Forgiver, Redeemer, Lord. But this morning, there's one aspect of Christ that I want to focus on, and that is Jesus as the healer of broken hearts. Just a few moments ago, we joined together in reading that incredible invitation from Matthew: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me, you who hurt. Come to me, you who struggle. Come to me, you who feel all alone. Come to me when you feel like you're going under for the third time. Come to me. It's an invitation that seems too good to be true, but it is a promise guaranteed by Christ Himself. And when Jesus said, "Come unto me," He was offering an unbelievable gift to hurting people. He is saying, "You will find acceptance and mercy and help from the one who can give you everything you need. Nothing is based on what you can do for Him. Everything is based on what He can do for you." So I want us to take a few moments and I want us to look together at this incredible invitation from Christ to you. I want you to see what the healer of hurting hearts is offering to you in your life this morning. And the first thing I want you to see is this: the healer offers a personal invitation. I love what he says in that short passage we read together. He says, "You come unto me." He says, "I will give you rest." He says, "You take my yoke upon you." He says, "You learn of me." This is all about you and me. That's what the Lord wants you to know today. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you may be struggling with, wherever you may need help, you need to hear the Lord say, "You come to me." It is a personal invitation to you. Time after time, the invitation from Christ is a personal invitation between two people. One of the things you recognize is this: this is an incredibly personal call. It's important that you realize when Jesus first offered this invitation, He wasn't speaking to a multitude of folks arrayed across the countryside. This was not like the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was gathered with a small group of His disciples. when he issued this invitation for the first time, "You come to me." And as he shared with those people, I have no doubt that everybody who was present in that room felt as though Jesus was speaking exactly to him or to her. He was speaking just where they needed him the most. You see, when the Lord speaks to wounded hearts, he does so in a way that lets each person know he is dealing with them and only them. So when the Lord speaks to us, he doesn't say, "Okay, who's discouraged in the room? You get over here with the other group of discouraged people." He doesn't say, "Who are the anxious people in this room? Let's gather that group over here." He doesn't say, "Where are the hurting people in this room, the grieving people in this room? Let's put that group over here." Instead, he says, "You come to me all by yourself, as though you were the only one." Because that's how much he cares for you. He's not offering a set of rules to follow. He's not giving you a set of impersonal religious practices. Instead, what he's saying is this: "You come to me just the way you are, and I will give you rest." He calls you to come to him because he wants you to have an eternal, personal relationship with Christ that will make you whole. He says, "You come to me because I am the one you need more than anything in the world. It is my presence that can heal you where you're hurting. It is my presence that will fix you where you are broken. And I am telling you this: you come to me, and I will be there for you." It's an incredible invitation that Jesus gives. He also reminds you about why you can come to him. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." The condition for coming to Christ is simply this: you've reached a point where you realize, "I can't make it apart from him." As long as you convince yourself you are self-sufficient, or that Christ is a convenience and not a necessity in your life, you will never learn how to lean on the Lord the way you need to learn on the Lord. As long as you think, "I can live my life and I'll put the Lord over here, and I'll put him in this little box and in this little place, and from time to time when I'm really scared or really hurting or really lonely, then I'll pull him out. But the rest of the time I can handle it all by myself." As long as you feel like that's true, you're never going to know what it means to come unto him. You'll never know what it means to come to Christ until you recognize, "I can't do this without him." Christ calls us to himself because he knows the burden is too heavy for anybody to bear alone. He loves us best when we need him the most. But you know, too many people have bought into the lie that he only accepts us when we're at our very best. We begin to say to ourselves, "Until I've cleaned myself up, until I've made myself right, until I've straightened everything out in my life, I don't need to come to him, because after all, I'm not at my best. And the Lord's not going to accept me unless I am at my very best. Because after all, that's the way the rest of the world functions." A few years back, Judith and I had the opportunity to go to one of those really, really first-class restaurants that you only get to go to a few times in your life. You know, one of those places where everything is exactly perfect. The food is wonderful. The wait staff is incredible. There are wandering musicians that are going from table to table playing for you. It's just one of those really first-class places. But you know, when we went there, there was a condition for being allowed to go there for dinner. You had to be at your very best. Ladies had to wear their finest dresses. Men were expected to put on a suit and a tie. And if you showed up dressed casually, or if you were not at your very best, you would be turned away, because that place was too important for somebody like you. I never really have understood how I got in there, but I got in there. So many people think the same thing is true about coming to the Lord. You have to clean yourself up. You have to straighten out your life. You have to do away with all your bad habits. You have to be at your very best. And then when you're good enough, then you come to Jesus. But you can't come to Him until you've straightened your life out, until you've made yourself everything that you ought to be. But that's not what Jesus said at all. Hear the voice of the healer cutting across all of those conditions. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me just as you are. Come to me with your burdens and your fears. Come to me with your faults and your failures. He accepts you just the way you are because that's what He wants to do. He wants to meet you at your point of need, and that's where the healer can make your heart whole again. You see, here's the thing. You can't make yourself perfect, then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, and He begins to make you whole. In fact, what the healer promises is this: a new beginning. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. One of the concerns that some people have about this message of unconditional acceptance is that people will come to Christ, but then they'll go back and live out their normal sinful lives. You know, I'll come to church on Sunday, I'll get everything right with God, and then the rest of the week I can just slip back down again. I can just fall backwards whenever I need to. And people are afraid, wait a minute, if you give a message that says, He tells you, come to me, don't clean yourself up and come to me, just come to me and let me clean you up, that people will just say, well, you know what, I'll come to Him and He'll accept me and He'll save me and heaven will be sure, and then I can go back to living my life the way I want to. But Jesus tells us this: when you experience His yoke, then the yoke that used to confine you will lose its appeal. Jesus said to those folks, take my yoke upon you. And one of the things you might need to know about those yokes is they were custom made. They were custom made to fit every oxen. You couldn't walk into a store and say, I'll just take one of those five yokes over there. No, the craftsman had to fit it in such a way that it was comfortable so the oxen could do the work and carry on about its life in a comfortable way. And the Lord says the same thing to you and me. He says, take my yoke upon you, the one I've designed for you, the one I've prepared for you. Take my yoke upon you. And here's the thing, and once you have worn that yoke, then what used to seem so comfortable and what used to seem so real loses all of its appeal. I don't ever want to go back to that again. I can tell you this, after Judith and I enjoyed that wonderful meal in that beautiful restaurant, it was a long time before I thought, you know, I just need a fast food hamburger. Because I had tasted what could be, and there was a yearning for that which was better. What Jesus promises to do for hurting hearts is to offer a tremendous exchange. Instead of a burden, a yoke. Instead of struggling to measure up, the touch of His grace. Why go back when the yoke is what you've been hungering for all of your life and you just didn't know it? Until you experience the healing touch of a loving Savior. So hear the healer's promise. I will give you rest. What kind of rest does He promise to you? If you're here today with a hurting heart, if you're here today with a struggling spirit, what's He promising to you? Rest. Rest from pretending you have it all together. Rest from being too concerned about what the people all around you think or see, because you know the one who loves you. Rest from guilt and sin. Rest from trying to do it all by yourself. Rest from trying to earn what only Christ can give. What do you need to know this morning? Let me be honest. The healer wants you to know that life without Jesus just doesn't work. You can try to make it work. You can spend years trying to force it to work. But the promise of Scripture is simply this: it won't work. Not apart from Him. That's the hard news. Here's the good news. The good news of the gospel is this: it doesn't have to. Life without Jesus doesn't have to work, because you have Jesus. And He's the one who has said to each of us, "You come to me. You come to me. I will make you well." All you have to do is hear His call and take Him at His word. Father, today you know about my hurting heart. You know that I have fallen short. You know about my frustrations and my fears. You know about my struggles and my shortcomings. You know the times when I thought that I had it all together, only to find out that everything was falling apart. You know all those things, Lord. And you know I'm hurting. So today, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to come to you and let you do in me and for me what I can never do for myself. Lord, today I trust you. You are the healer of hurting hearts. So here's my question to you this morning. Do you need to come to the healer? Do you need to come to the one who's made that promise, "Come unto me"? Just the way you are. Bring your burdens. Bring your struggles. I'll give you rest. Trust me. I care for you. Because He does. Maybe today you're here and you're not a believer. There's never been that time when you have said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Make me new." In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if today you're here and you're not a believer, you just walk up the aisles here. I'll meet you here. I'll be so glad to introduce you to the one who can heal your heart. Maybe you're here today and God is telling you, "Right here is where I want you to serve me. I want you to be a member in this place and serve me here." And you just need to be obedient. Maybe there's a struggle that's going on in your life and you just need somebody to pray with you. As we stand and as we sing, and God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you can come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. If God is speaking to you, you be obedient. Thank you. We've had a good day in God's house today. I'm glad we got to share this time together. Let me encourage you again, 5 o'clock tonight, back to our normal time. Nobody's in the parking lot. Everybody.